today's guest started off his career by getting a law degree, and he hated it. Then he started up a company writing papers for students, and he loved it. Fast forward a bit, and Jeremy Boudinet got his start in marketing by joining a couple friends in their startup to do content marketing and ebooks. Eventually, his approach to getting awesome content up got him a job at Nextiva. He's exactly what he wanted to be when he grew up, just it took a little adjusting to get there. He's found that the key to marketing is the willingness to step out and do some weird things, deviate from the norm, and think outside the box when everybody else is trying to conform and do what's worked before. And his elite marketing tip goes right in line with that. If your company needs a great internal communication platform, check out nextiva.com. Or if you need to talk with an awesome marketer, find Jeremy on LinkedIn or on Twitter at BoudinetJ. Let's jump into the chat. Nextiva, is that the name of the company you're at?
Yes.
Cool. Yep. What do you guys do there? What's that all about?
We are a business communications company. So we sell business phone service, cloud phone systems that companies use to communicate with their customers, their teammates, prospects, you know, everything from like things like auto attend, you call in, press one for so-and-so, press two for so-and-so, press three for sales, whatever. And then we have things like video conferencing and team chat and the whole gamut. So it's an all in one platform for business communications.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. There are some pretty good ones out there. I know the ones that, you know, they have the IVR systems and they,
yep.
that's the right acronym, right? IVR.
Yep. That is.
I was like,
yeah.
I was like, it's either VFR or IVR. I can't remember, but yeah, there's some really good ones. And, you know, just having the ability to get folks in touch with the right folks at the right time is key. How big of companies do you guys serve normally?
That's a good question, Fritz. We have, a broad array. You know, we have a lot of small business owners that use us. So, I think our bread and butter for a long time was the small business, you know, supporting companies that were small and just starting out, trying to grow and working with their, business owners. But we've also really grown a lot lately in, enterprise and mid-market, big companies like Netflix, et cetera, where it's thousands of people, you know, using us. So, we started out, so I'd say we started out small business focused and we've really kind of scaled now to where we're businesses of all sizes.
Okay. Cool, man. Well, how did you get started in marketing?
So I've got a very unique, I think, route into marketing for it. So I don't think I've told you this, so I'll give this to you here for the first time. So, I actually have a law degree and, I obtained it in 2012, promptly failed the bar exam twice, and was never passionate about law. I hated law school, and just wasn't my thing. But I was like, I'm forced to go into this now because, you know, I've invested a lot, you know, student loans, things like that. But I didn't know what I was going to do. It turned out that when I was an undergrad, I actually had my own business, kind of started out organically paper writing. I had a paper writing business. I was like a professional ghostwriter.
Yeah.
And I had something called the Boudinet guarantee, an A or a B or your money back. And what happened was this paper writing business exploded. And I was like regionally, I had guys by my senior year, I had guys I'd never met before hundreds of miles away calling me, to help with their papers. So what basically, long story short, two of my college buddies, or three of them, I should say, in 2014 reached out to me and they had started a startup called Ambition and just raised money. And they knew I was like sort of a down out lawyer. And they were like, do you want to, you know, come and do marketing for us? Here's the job description. And I had no concept really of marketing or advertising or, you know, what it was. And so they hand me this job description that's like, all right, it's all content marketing. It's, you know, ebooks and blog, it's all writing based and publishing and getting people to read our stuff. And, you know, so when I read that, I was like, wow, I can be really good at that. Cause that's what I really enjoy doing. I really enjoy creative writing and I enjoy writing for, I guess, mass consumption, public audiences. So I dove in and took their offer, and you know, just like that, I was like, I'm not a lawyer anymore. I'm not trying to be a lawyer. I'm a marketer. And that was it. I loved it from the beginning. I really, really just, I was like, this is what I was meant to do.
Yeah.
It was a cool experience. I never felt that way in law school. So
that is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds like you've taken kind of a circuitous path to get to where you are today, but the stuff that you've done up to this point, you're able to use quite a bit of it. Sounds like.
Yeah. Well, the basic principles of marketing, it's funny. My grandma, for example, asked like, what did I do? She's like, I still don't understand what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And this is like a year ago. I was like, you know, when you watch something on TV or on the internet, you see an ad and you're like, I want to buy that. Or like, that seems like a cool company. I'm like, I'm the guy that makes you feel that way.
Yeah.
That's what marketing is, you know, like, so, I mean, at a very rudimentary level, but, I took, you know, I was fortunate that I realized like the skills that I had that I've always liked. I love writing. I love reading. I love being creative. I like persuading people, you know, I like helping people,
mm-hmm.
You know, really sort of naturally apply here. And, you know, the ability to like be part of companies that are growing and building things and trying to do really, you know, important stuff in the market is really, really, you know, I find it much more compelling than like being a lawyer where it's like, you're, you know, it's adversarial people, you know, fighting over shit.
Yeah.
So, I much prefer this sort of, professional life.
Shoot, man. I would too. You know, anytime you can get your creative groove on, it just feels better. I mean, there's something to the adversarial thing. I guess a lot of people, there are some folks that love that sort of thing.
Yep.
Like you, I am not that type of person. I just, you know, I love to create. I had to laugh because when you're trying to explain to your grandma, like what you do, my mom asks me that often. She's like, son, what is it that you do? Because she tries to explain it to her neighbor, her friend. And she's like, he does computer stuff, but I mean, I want to be more specific. And I'm like, just, you know, and then like I sit there and think about it. And I'm like, well, how am I going to craft a brand message for my mom who's sitting here waiting on me to give her an answer? Like, what is she going to tell her friend? But yeah.
It's a good test, you know. It's like if your mom can't explain it to your mom, then, you know, you need to like go back to the drawing board and, you know, come up with a good elevator pitch, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I at one time had it whittled down to like 6 words, and now it's just – I forgot it, but I'm also different than what I used to do. So I'm like, well, no, that's not accurate. So do you have to do that often? Do you have to like figure out like how to explain what you do or what the company does, like in the simplest terms possible? Like,
yeah,
Grandma Ethel, you know?
Totally. Yeah. You know, I think that's something, at least marketers in tech, probably, you know, more so maybe than some other areas, have to get good at. You know, because if you're not careful, you'll slip into the jargon. You know, the first 5 words that come out of your mouth make no sense to them.
Yeah.
You know, if you're like going with like industry buzzwords and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
Like I could say, oh, we're, you know, Xtiva's business VoIP, and a lot of people would have, that would mean something to some people. But like if I was explaining to my grandma, she'd be like, well, what is that? And then that's another 10-minute explanation. So, I mean, yeah, I'm constantly thinking about how do I better explain what I do and what my company does to people. So
yeah,
good practice.
Me too, man. Me too. So in what ways has marketing changed since you started?
That's a good question. So I got my start in 2014. So it's been 6 years, and, what I've seen is that when I got into the game in 2014, you know, I got in when the digital content inbound model that like companies like HubSpot sort of created was really starting the wave was cresting. Like mm-hmm. people were like, all right, let's start. We're going to start going on this. So started blogging, you know, and like doing it aggressively, started hitting social media, doing it aggressively. Everything we did was organic. We didn't do paid, you know, anything. We were like extremely bootstrapped and extremely like let's not spend money because I didn't have a PPC background, and we didn't like want to spend a lot of money for me to learn mm-hmm. how to do it while I was there. And B, we found that our model ended up being really good, where we were able to just master the art of creating content, getting out there, like doing different types of content in ways that really engaged our buyers. And I think what's happened is that it's gotten a lot noisier in the content creation space. There's a lot of people, every company now is creating content, social media now, you see a lot of people, everyone's in it. Mm-hmm. And I think the stakes, what you have to do is you have to do more now, I think, as a brand to stand out. And you have to be more creative and you have to be more daring. My boss, the CMO at Nextiva, Yaniv Meshchedi, who is the man, he has a sign on his desk that says, do epic shit. And I think that that is incumbent upon brands now, where you have to, you can't just be cookie cutter if you want to get noticed. You have to do daring stuff, and people are becoming, I think, more conditioned to expect brands to do things that are more out of the ordinary and maybe a little bit less corporate and more like authentic in a way. So
yeah,
I think that's one big change I've seen. For example, here's a good microcosm example of that. So about a month ago, not even a month ago, I was on Twitter, and I'm a big music fan, and I'd heard from a couple of like music critics I follow, like, oh, Machine Gun Kelly, this rapper, he has created this really good new album where he switched into like a late 90s pop punk approach. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I didn't like Machine Gun Kelly, you know, when he was a rapper, I'm not gonna listen to him, it's whatever. And then of all things, the Wendy's Twitter handle, I saw, somehow stumbled on this thread, the Wendy's Twitter handle went on this huge Twitter diatribe about Machine Gun Kelly. Mm-hmm. And about how his new album, like this, like hilariously, like clearly the person behind it was like a very big fan of like underground emo and pop punk. It was like breaking the corporate wall and just talking like, here's how I feel about this. But It was so funny because it was coming from the Wendy's Twitter brand. And so it made me listen to the album. I really like the album now. Whenever I listen to it, I think about the Wendy's Twitter brand. And it's just fascinating to me that we're in this world now where like that's the sort of things brands are doing that works. And it's just funny. It's like the Steakums, I remember Steakums a few months ago was, they're talking about science and like COVID, like how to discern, you know, the right statistical models to follow for COVID. Just completely like irrelevant to like what Steakums is, but it was so funny and so different that people caught on to it. And it was great for their brand awareness.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think with Nextiva, we're thinking a lot about how do we do similar things where we ingratiate ourselves in the public consciousness in ways like that.
Yeah. You know? Well, hey, you're hopping on a podcast with a complete stranger, man. I mean, that's something that not a lot of people do. So kudos.
Thanks, man.
No, I love so like I get on Reddit quite often, and you know, I'll see every once in a while somebody will take a screenshot of like Wendy's getting on there and just throwing absolute shade at people. And it's like, what in the world? But it's like, aha. So now they've equated that brand, and a lot of fast food companies are doing that sort of thing. They're just getting goofy. Do you remember years ago? This is probably before. This was well before 2014. I may be dating myself, but Burger King had this thing called subservient chicken. Do you remember that?
No, I do not remember. They had some phenomenal campaigns.
They did. Yeah, they did. Well, what they did is they had something online. You go online to a particular place on their website, and they had this chicken. It was a guy dressed up in a giant chicken suit, and you could tell him to do different things, like do a push-up, do a jumping jack, eat a French fry, or something like that. And all it was a bunch of like individually stitched together videos. Like he'd just be standing there like an idle animation until you told him to do something. And then they would just have a video that did that particular thing. And it's like, you can go there and ask him to do like all kinds of things, like mostly anything.
I think
anything.
I did do this. I think this was probably 10 years ago, maybe something like that.
It sounds about right. It sounds about right. But I mean, given the pandemic, it was probably more like 20, you know, because it's like, that's just throwing everybody's time perception off. But I remembered that. I remember that to this day, dude, you know, and when we get to the point where businesses and therefore marketing are able to kind of, you know, break through that fourth wall, like you mentioned, some really cool things happen, because at the end of the day, guess what? They're going to remember your brand because you totally went off script. So
totally. Yeah. And I think, you know, working in, like I work for, we're an enterprise software company, you know, we're business communications platform, and, you know, we're not Coca-Cola or Budweiser. And the problem is, I think a lot of brands out there in our space, they think, oh, well, we're this type of brand. We have to stay in this lane of corporate talk, and we're thinking about marketing to another business instead of we're marketing to people. So we can't do the stuff that like the Coca-Cola's and Wendy's of the world do, which is not true. I think that, you know, just because you're selling enterprise software, you still have people on the other end buying it. You still need to resonate with them individually, you know, and you still need to stand out and take risks and have fun, you know, with what you're doing, you know. And so I think you nailed it when you said that that's something really important for brands to hit on and not be afraid to do. I think brands are afraid to do it, you know. I think fear holds a lot of them back. And you hate to see it, you know, but the ones that like do it well and aren't boring and have fun, you know, they reap the rewards and they're fun to follow, you know? Yep.
Fortune favors the brave, especially when it comes to marketing, doesn't it?
Exactly. It's one of the laws of power, the 48 laws of power, create compelling spectacles.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's one of my favorites right there.
Oh man. I love it. Well, what do you wish someone told you about marketing 5 years ago?
Oh man. Well, I will say, I wish someone had told me 10 years ago in college that, or in law school, that you could have a lot of fun with this and it's not going to be what you think it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, I guess 5 years ago, I wish someone had told me, exactly what we're talking about, where it's, you know, don't just be bold and go big with whatever you're trying to do. You know, and don't do something just because everyone else is doing it. I think a lot of brands sometimes fall into that. A lot of companies fall into that where this is what everyone else is doing, therefore we need to do it. You know, I would also tell myself 5 years ago, about this time I switched marketing automation platforms, when I was basically a solo marketer, which was nearly killed me. So I would say, Jeremy, don't do that. Which is a little bit like, you know, granular there, but that was, if you're a soul, be very wary about switching your marketing automation platform.
I
would say be bold and have fun with stuff. And the most bold actions I took, like when I was at Ambition, which I was there for 4 years, I was director of marketing, the most successful things we did were the most over the top crazy things. We started a 64 company software company tournament. We called it March Sassness, where teams competed or companies competed, and we covered it like it was like an actual, like we went nuts with it on Twitter, and people loved it. Our you know, we, that was so huge for us from a brand awareness standpoint. So you know, and then Nextiva here, we're the new official communications partner of the Pac-12, and we're doing some really, you know, fun and executions around that are very, you know, over the top, and we have athletes, you know, speaking for us, and they're big, risky, you know, moves in a way, because they're very outside of the corporate B2B comfort zone. But I've seen this is what works. This is like what works. So I would have told myself 5 years ago, do more of this, because this is the stuff that worked and got you remembered. So, yeah.
Nice, man. Yeah. It'd be great if we could just time travel 5 years in the past and be like, oh my goodness, don't do that.
Yeah.
But we can't. But it's cool though, because we can take lessons learned and apply it to now, but then also share it with other people. That's what gets me excited about stuff. Cause I mean, I'm in the technical space too. And I get people asking me questions about like, hey, Fritz, how do you do this? And it's like, well, let me share that with you. And I'm glad you're asking, because if you'd asked me 5 years ago, I wouldn't have known what the heck.
Yeah.
So
but that, that brings me to another good thing I've told myself 5 years ago that took me a while to figure out. That exact point. Talk to as many, if there's a marketer in your space that you really respect and is doing really cool stuff, reach out to them and ask them what's something awesome you're doing that you'd recommend that I can use. That literally for me, there were a couple things we did that were really successful. That was like one call with another marketer who I really liked, who was like, dude, we were using like this, like one of them was like a blog opt-in form. And it just, as soon as we implemented it, we started getting, you know, just signups en masse, and, you know, all based on his recommendation. And then one of the guys, actually, I remember reaching out to him. He gave me his answer. I was like, I love your blog. How'd you design it? And it's funny, he ended up being one of the guys who hired me here at Nextiva, you know, 2 years later. So you never know. Shouts out Gaetano Donardi. Yeah, so I would say be bold, be different, and, you know, have fun. Have fun, you know, with your marketing. I think that's a key thing.
Yeah.
You know,
so. I agree. Well, we got the last question here. What is a killer tip that you can share with other marketers?
The one killer tip I would share. Here's my killer tip. So I'm a firm believer in this. Speed kills in a good way. You know, too many marketers, you get caught up in this has to be perfect. This has to be, you know, so-and-so. And there is value to, like, my CMO is great about saying, okay, this needs one more iteration before it's, you know, as good as it should be to get out. But you need to be quick with your marketing. You need to get stuff out the door. You need to aim for speed and execute a lot. And the reason for that I believe in that is because that's how you learn and see what works and what doesn't faster than anything else, you know. And just by producing stuff and getting it out into the world, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be having a positive impact. Then you're also going to be learning from the data you get about what you're doing. Like, okay, this didn't work, and here's why. You want to be quick. There's a great John Wooden quote where you want to be quick, but you don't want to be in a hurry, because when you're in a hurry, you make mistakes.
Yeah.
But I think you should aim to be quick in when you're executing something and figure out how can I be as efficient as possible when I'm, let's say, producing a landing page or, you know, trying to, you know, write a blog post or get a guest post or something of that nature, get press. And then be testing. And obviously you need data around everything you're doing. So make sure you have that as well.
Okay. So, yeah. Cool. Yeah. I had that like sideways, confused dog face, like, huh? When you said speed kills, I'm like, wait, hold up. You know, in this world where everything's like instant gratification, I'm like, oh, blasphemer. So, but I understand. I mean, you know, we go through life and just kind of frenetically just throw it at the wall and see what sticks. And it's like, just slow down a little bit and see what actually works and analyze it.
Yeah, like exactly. That. Exactly. You should spend as much time analyzing what you did. You know, you just spend a lot of time analyzing what you actually did as well. And then you need to, I think my CMO's point about always in that one last iteration, you know, see if you can get to that one next level before it goes live is a great, great call as well.
Nice, man. Nice. Well, how do people find you and how do people find your company? I want to see if I can draw some attention y'all's way.
Yeah. So, Nextiva is nextiva.com, nextiva.com. You can follow me on LinkedIn, Jeremy Boudinet. My last name is the backslash, and I'm on Twitter too, Boudinet J. But yeah, I would love to reach out. If people want to reach out and connect, would love that. I'm always down to talk with fellow marketers, love talking shop. So also part of like Revenue Collective here in Phoenix, AISP in Phoenix. So lots of good stuff happening.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, it's been really good talking with you, man. I always learn some cool things from people, and I love applying that one tip you said about, hey, just talk with other marketers. I mean, I kind of wear the marketing hat sort of as a side effect of being like one of two people in this company. But every time I talk with people, I'm like, man, that's a really cool thingy. So selfishly, thank you for your time.
Yeah. No, thanks, Chris. I love this. I love the concept here for this podcast. When you reached out to me, I was like, yeah, of course, I'm down, man.
Of course. I don't know this guy from Adam, but yes, I'll jump on with a complete stranger. So.
A great cold email. You know, that cold email like worked. So hats off to you, man.
Cool, man. Well, thank you. Yeah. Well, have a good rest of the day, sir, and I'll catch you on the flip side when this goes live. All right?
Sounds great. Thanks, Fritz.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, man.
Hey, listener. Hopefully, you learned something really cool in this episode. Marketing is a big, big area and can seem overwhelming, but hearing from experts like today's guest helps demystify it. If you learned something, consider telling your friends about the Elite Marketing Tips podcast here on anchor.fm or anywhere you consume podcasts. We appreciate your listenership.